Have you ever been in a situation where someone tells you something of such significance? Maybe something that is so hard to hear that afterwards, after hearing it, after being confronted with it, that it messes you up, that it inhibits your ability to continue on hearing and listening. They continue to talk, but you're kind of stuck thinking about what it is that they've just said. Or maybe you've been on the other end of that conversation. Have you ever had to tell someone something that you know is going to be difficult for them to hear? Perhaps you've had the responsibility of having to lay someone off at work. I've had to do that before. It is not fun at all. If you've ever had to deliver news like that, hard news, maybe you can identify with a desire of wanting to comfort those whom you've just delivered that news to. Similarly, the book of Jude has been a heavy book to meditate on. It has forced us to hear and think about hard topics such as contending for the faith, false teachers, immorality, rebellion, unbelief, apostasy, that is, people falling away from the faith, the return of the Lord in judgment, as well as the dreadful reality of hell itself. Jude understands that he has just told the church some extremely hard things to hear. He understands that the things he has said might have caused some in the church to be overwhelmed, quite frankly. And therefore, in verses 24 and 25, Jude ends the book by providing his readers with some much-needed perspective, with some much-needed comfort and encouragement. Jude closes his letter by simultaneously offering worship to God and comfort to the church. He does this by speaking about the greatness of God. In verse 24, we'll consider God's preservation. God's preservation. God has the power and ability to bring about that which he desires. Namely, God has the ability to keep and preserve you for himself. Turn your attention to verse 24. Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. And Jude says, now to God who is able to keep you from stumbling out of the faith. Jude signals that he's going to direct his words towards extolling God for his perfections. That is, Jude will express verbally the wonder and awe that he feels in his heart and mind as he thinks about the character and nature of God. Nevertheless, he begins by applying the benefits of those perfections directly to your life before completely turning his words towards God in worship. Jude wants you to understand that God has the ability to keep and preserve you for himself. Why is Jude concerned with addressing those who might be worrying about falling away? Because he knows that true Christians struggle with those kinds of thoughts. And because he knows that he has just delivered some hard things to hear. For example, consider verses 5 and 11. Jude compares false teachers and those who follow after them to unbelieving Israel and Korah's rebellion during the wilderness wanderings. Jude wants to remind you that false teachers do arise within the church and that sometimes they're able to draw people after themselves. He also wants us to understand that they, those false teachers and the ones who follow after them, will face judgment if they don't repent and believe. He wants you to be warned and on your guard. Jude knows that we are weak and finite creatures. He knows that We can be swept along by our thoughts can sweep us along like a leaf in the dry wind if we're not careful. He knows that some will think, well, what if this happens to me? I struggle with unbelief. I don't even know how much I know about the Scripture. Maybe I can be easily swayed. What's to keep me from falling away? And Jude's answer is God. God is able to keep you from stumbling. Do you see that word keep in verse 24? God is able to keep you from stumbling. The word rendered into English as keep is a military term in Greek. It carries the meaning of guarding someone or something, guarding something with a desire to keep it secure. So you might think of a platoon of soldiers who are commissioned or who are charged to keep guard of something. Have you ever noticed the Secret Service men who surround the president? Right, they look like the Men in Black guys. They're all, I guess, kind of dressed up like me, except for in darker colors, right? And they have those glasses that with the mirrors so you can't tell where they're looking. And they're scanning over the crowd like they're looking for someone to kill or something, right? They're scanning the crowd, looking for danger, looking for someone who might be up to something. Or they look like some really serious guys you don't want to mess around with. And they do an outstanding job of protecting the president. Jude says, Christian, God is guarding you. Forget the Secret Service. You've got God Almighty guarding your soul. In John 10, 28 and 29, Jesus says of you, of Christians, he says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. He goes on to say, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. The point is that Christian, God is guarding you. He's keeping you. And no one is going to be able to steal you away. God is good. God is holy. God is all-powerful and all-wise. God has the power to bring about all his holy will. The power of God is the ability and the strength he possesses to bring about whatever he pleases. It is the power he possesses to bring to pass whatever his infinite wisdom desires. God's power is like himself, infinite, eternal, incomprehensible, immense. That is, you can't get your arms around it. It's immense. It can't be checked. It can't be restrained. And it can't be frustrated. God is able to keep you from stumbling. He has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus promised that if you believe in him, that you, if you trust in him, if you hope in him, you will be saved. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The scripture testifies that Jesus upholds the universe by his power. It goes on to say, after making purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Jesus Christ is God, and he possesses the ability, the strength to bring about whatever he pleases. And you are his. And he will never let you go. Jude understands that we become shaken by hard circumstances. The trials that we face can provoke us into getting our eyes on ourselves and on our circumstances rather than keeping our focus on Christ and that which is eternal. We get so distracted by our problems that we lose track of the big picture. Therefore, Jude wants you to train your eyes back on Jesus. He wants to renew your perspective. Don't be shaken by your trials. Look to Jesus. Train your focus on Him. Cling to the promises He has made to you. Cling to the Word of God. He wants you to be encouraged. Jude wants to remind you that God is able to keep you from stumbling and to count you as blameless before Him. As we continue to read verse 4, we see that Jude wants to remind you of the wonders of God's grace. And that's our second heading, God's grace. Jude says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy." God not only has the power to keep you from stumbling, He also has the power to present you blameless in His sight through the work of His Son. Jude wants to remind you that salvation isn't based on your good works, but on God's ability to save. Why? Why does Jude feel the need to remind his readers that salvation is a work of God's grace? It seems like 101 Christianity to me, right? Salvation is through faith alone, by Christ alone. Salvation is by grace alone. It is not by works. So why would he remind? Why does Jude feel the need to remind his readers that salvation is a work of God's grace? Because Christians are sinners saved by grace, and Jude knows that they are plagued by their failings. He knows they are constantly tempted to think that God's pleasure or displeasure with them is based on how well they're behaving. He also knows that throughout his letter, he said that those who live ungodly lives will receive judgment. Right? He wants to renew your perspective. For example, in verse 6, Jude talks about the judgment of the great day. That is that great and final judgment. In verse 7, he speaks of a punishment of eternal fire. In verse 13, he describes hell as the gloom of utter darkness. In verses 14 through 16, Jude says that the Lord is going to return to execute judgment on all, and that He is going to convict all of the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness. He speaks of people who are going to be judged by God for their immoral behavior. Jude has brought up some solemn things that ought to make us tremble. Jude knows that we need to be reminded about the greatness of God and the greatness of His grace. He knows that you need to be pointed to the gospel, that I need to be pointed to the gospel again and again. Your right standing before God is based solely on what Jesus has done for you. Christians are sinners saved by grace. But some might ask, how can I possibly be presented blameless, faultless? And the answer is Jesus bore the wrath of God for every one of your sins, Christian. And He has provided you with His own righteousness. If you've trusted in Christ for your salvation, God sees you as His sinless, beautiful child without spot or blemish. If you are in Christ, God sees you as blameless. Jesus promised that if you repent and believe in him, you will be saved. Jude says, be encouraged. Jesus is going to keep his promise to you. Christian, when you sin, you should acknowledge it before God immediately. And seek his forgiveness, not as a criminal before his judge. This is important. Not as a criminal before God as your judge, but as a child speaking to their father who loves them beyond measure. Sin is displeasing to God, and he has called you to live a holy life. The book of Jude makes that very clear. Verse 4 says that a true Christian acknowledges Jesus as their master and their Lord. Right? The false teachers denied Jesus as master and Lord. The true Christian doesn't do that. He acknowledges Jesus as master and Lord. Jude says that God is going to make you stand in his glorious presence blameless. Do you remember in Exodus 33 when Moses is on the mountain with God and he's having a conversation with God, and Moses says, God, let me ask you for something. This is kind of a big one. Let me ask you for something. Show me your glory. You remember when he asked God that? And God says, Moses, I'll make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim to you my name. But you cannot see my face, for man shall not see my face and live. Do you remember that? Beloved, because of the Lord Jesus, you're going to stand in the presence of God's glory and see him face to face. Because of the Lord Jesus, you're going to stand before God blameless, innocent, guiltless, in holiness. You will be fully and forever freed from all sin and misery. You will be filled with inconceivable joys and made perfectly holy and happy. I mean, you're going to not only have that right standing declared holy on the account of Christ, you will be transformed and holy, not with a conditional footing, but with an unconditional footing. You will never, ever, ever fall away from that position. You will enjoy the company of countless saints and holy angels, but especially the immediate presence of God the Father, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. Jude would direct your eyes to the greatness of God and the glories of Christ. He would steer your attention towards the gospel that says that if you believe in Jesus, your sins will be forgiven. Be encouraged. Jesus will keep his promise to present you faultless, and you will spend all eternity in his presence. Jude wants to remind you that God is able to keep you from stumbling and to count you blameless before him. In verse 25, Jude turns his words towards God, ascribing glory to God for his sovereignty. In verse 25, we see God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. In verse 25, we see that God is in complete control of all things and that glory belongs to him alone. In verse 25, Jude says, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. Jude closes his letter in worship. He extols God for those things that belong to him alone. Sure, earthly kings have some glory for a time, 10 years, 20 years, maybe 40 years. They're a small, tiny reflection of the true glory that's in heaven. But they do not have glory that belongs to God and Him alone. Jude extols God for those things that belong to Him alone: glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And in doing so, Jude adds much needed clarity. Because when you're in the midst of a trial, that's what you need, right? Clarity. We need the clarity that helps us to be able to step back for a minute and see things for what they really are. If you're trying to see a room, right, but your nose is up against the wall, it becomes very hard to see. But if you step back, if you're able to step back a little, you're able to get that much needed clarity. Jude's statement provides that kind of clarity. Think about it. Think about the content of Jude's letter. Why is he writing this letter? Because it has come to his attention that false teachers had entered into the church. Things seem out of control, right? There's wolves in the church. People are falling away. They're able to steal some people away. Churches are in danger of collapsing. What are we to do? Everything is ruined. Jude compares our adversaries to some of the most notorious foes contained in Scripture. The church is going to be ruined. This is a dire situation. Jude's statement says, don't worry. Don't worry. God's in complete control of every detail in this situation. Listen to how he does it. God is triune, and we can bring glory to God by looking at the Son. Jude wants us to be meditating on God, and the way that is done in the New Testament is by adjusting our thinking so that the one who is called Savior and who is given majesty and glory is that one that we see. Jude says, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Jude says, to God belongs glory. We talked about this earlier, about being in the presence of God's glory, blameless. Glory speaks of the weightiness or God's being majestic. Jesus is full of glory. Glory belongs to Him. In Him is the fullness of the deity bodily. Jude writes, to God alone brings glory and majesty. And we heard it earlier, Hebrews says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Jesus is clothed in greatness and splendor. Royal power is His. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He was seated at God's right hand, and He had inherited a kingdom. Jesus is King. But He's not just the King of the Christians. No. He is King over all of creation. All of creation is subject to His authority. Everything belongs to Him. Everyone will give account to Him. Jesus is King. Our text says, to God alone be glory, majesty, and dominion. Dominion speaks of God's power to control this world. Jesus possesses the ability and strength to bring about whatever He pleases. He possesses the power to bring about whatever it is that He desires. Jesus has dominion over all of creation. The universe is his jurisdiction. He possesses sovereign control over everything. To God alone belongs glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Authority speaks of God's intrinsic right to rule all things, that is, his basic right as creator to rule over that which he has created. As a member of the Godhead, Jesus already had the same power and authority as God the Father. We refer to this as his essential kingship. However, Jesus was given power and authority over all things upon the completion of his great mediatorial task of purchasing salvation for his people. He did this in his mediatorial role as our prophet, priest, and king. After his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, the Father gave Jesus, the God-man, all authority as our mediatorial king, as a reward for the work he had accomplished. We refer to the authority that was bestowed on Jesus, the God-man, as his mediatorial kingship. So let me try to say that in really plain language. All right. We differentiate God being king into two categories, his essential kingship and his mediatorial kingship. So in his essential kingship is this. God is one. He is a triune God, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is equal in power and glory. He has always been king. He's always been the creator. He is the king. God is king. That's true. That's his essential kingship. The other category, mediatorial kingship. The Son of God comes down. He takes on a human nature. And in his role, in fulfilling, in redeeming you, he dies on the cross. He's risen from the dead. He ascends into heaven. There's a point in time and history where Jesus, the God-man, with human glorified eyes, walks into heaven for the first time. And when he comes in to heaven, what's bestowed on him is the kingdom. The God-man, at one point in time, gets bestowed on him glory, power, majesty, and authority. That's his essential kingship. He's been God from all eternity. His mediatorial kingship, the role that he accomplishes to redeem us as the God-man. The scriptures say that Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He has the power and authority to do all of his holy will. Hard circumstances cause anxiety. They did in Jude's day, and they do today. Serious trials can provoke us to despair and hopelessness. The text reminds us that Jesus is in complete control of everything. He has the power and authority to do whatever he desires. This text brings comfort, encouragement, and clarity when we need it the most. Jude has confronted the church with hard things to hear. There are false teachers in the church who cause real damage, and you must contend for the faith. Hard things to hear. Jude knows that what he has written has caused some people to be overwhelmed. He knows that his letter has caused some people to get caught up thinking about the problem itself. Therefore, Jude closes this book by bringing us back to reality. Jude wants you to know that you're not going to fall away, that God has removed your sins, and that he is in complete control of everything. Jude accomplishes this by directing your gaze towards God. When life gets hard, we get tunnel vision. It can cause us to focus on ourselves and our problems without thinking about anything else. Sometimes we need to get our thinking straight. Like an electronic device that freezes, sometimes we need to restart our thinking. Sometimes we need to get our eyes off of our circumstances and back on the Scripture. The Bible will provide us with the truth. It will provide us with clarity and with the big picture. God loves you. And I hesitate writing that because it seems like such a generic thing to say, right? Because God loves everybody. And it's true. God loves everybody, even his enemies. But he loves his people in a special way. And he doesn't just love you all corporately. No, he loves you. I mean, think about that. God loves me. Don't just blow that off. Receive that. He called you out of this world as his treasured possession. Jesus is not going to let you fall away. And he is perfectly aware of the fact that you are broken. He knows that it is a battle for you to follow him. God wants you to know that he is going to keep his promise to you. You will meet him face to face one day, and he's going to look at you and smile. You will stand before him as if you had never sinned, and you will feel his warm embrace. God knows that sometimes this world seems out of control. He knows that sometimes you wonder how your circumstances can possibly be his will. Will you trust him even when things seem upside down? God wants you to know that everything is working for your good and for his glory. Jude's desire is to leave you comforted and encouraged by pointing you to the greatness of God. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.